we will talk about functions of retailing. Imagine a situation where you had to go to 20 different manufacturers to buy 20 different products. My God, how difficult would that be? Instead, isn't it easier to go to one departmental store and buy 20 different products under the same roof? That is exactly what the retailer does for us. The retailer buys a huge variety of products from many different manufacturers or wholesalers or distributors, brings them all at one place and sells the customer. The customer, as a result, gets a huge variety of products under one roof. That is the most important function that the retailer is playing, that of buying from a number of sources and that of breaking bulk, which, like we just discussed, means that you buy huge quantities, but the retailer sells only one, two, or a few pieces to the end consumer for his personal use. The retailer holds inventory. What do we understand by the term inventory? This is the stock of goods. When you go to a store, let's say to buy a TV, well, the retailer cannot display each and every TV in his store. So what does he do? He has a godown or a store or a warehouse where he keeps all the extra pieces in stock. So the moment you say, okay, this is the TV I want, he will not pick that piece and give it to you. He will say, okay, I will have a piece delivered to your house from my warehouse. That is inventory. Which means, what is the stock or number of goods that the retailer keeps in his godown? Okay, so the retailer holds inventory. Why is that important? Because inventory holding has a cost associated with it. You need a place to hold that inventory. You need people to keep a check of what has come into the warehouse and what has been dispatched from a warehouse. That is the work that the retailer does for the consumer. Transportation. The retailer transports the products. This could include transporting the product from the manufacturer or wholesaler to the store. It could also include dispatching the product from the store and shipping it to the consumer. Okay? It could also mean, in case of an online retailer, that the retailer is transporting the product from their godown to the customer's address or premises. The next function that the retailer plays is that of financing. Some retailers give credit to customers. This is a very important function. Okay? If you have ever been to a neighborhood grocery store, that is another person who gives financing, which means you just go pick up the product that you want and he will put it down in a little diary and say, because he knows each person in that neighborhood personally. Okay. Now, those kind of stores are diminishing, but the other kind of financing options are coming in, where you've seen schemes of an EMI or a monthly installment and financing schemes. Sales promotion. A retailer displays the goods in his premises or on his website in a manner that the customer is tempted to buy them. He also does a lot of advertising. He does some sales promotions, he puts discount sales, he may have some other PR activities. All these add to communicating to the customer that this product is being sold by this retailer. The retailer may also provide many services to the consumer in addition to selling the product, something like a free home delivery, installation, or an after-sale service, or in case of you want to buy a gift, then a free gift wrapping in the store. These are extra services that the retailer provides to the customer. A very important function that the retailer plays is creating demand. Since the retailer is the link between the supplier or manufacturer and the consumer, the retailer is powerful. He has the ability to influence the customer through the communication mix, through the promotions, advertising that the retailer undertakes. He creates demand for a new product. The retailer not only educates the customer of new products in the market or new versions or new possibilities or new options, but through his advertising, he also creates demand within the target customer group so that the target customer now wants to buy that product the retailer is selling. Now, brings back to the question we asked at the beginning of the chapter. Is the retailer more efficient in selling to the consumer, or should the consumer be going back to the manufacturer to buy? Because the manufacturer will obviously be slightly cheaper than the retailer. After going through this list of functions that the retailer plays, we can safely conclude that the key functions performed by a retailer definitely outweigh the difference in the price of the product from the manufacturer. What is the economic significance of retailing? We've just discussed what are the functions that the retailer plays, but those functions are being played by the retailer for his own profit because he runs a business and wants to earn money at the end of the day. But does retailing as a function also help anybody else? Yes, definitely. Retailing has a huge impact on the economy of a country. Retail sales are an excellent economic indicator because consumer spending drives the economy. If a consumer does not spend, if a consumer does not buy products, how is the money going to turn? How is the economy going to turn? Okay, so retail creates jobs. Every time a new store is opened, imagine how many jobs are created. So you have a new store, somebody is going to pay rent for that store, and somebody earns that rent. Similarly, there will be salespeople, there will be store managers, there will be sales managers who are now part of the store. There will be housekeeping people, there will be more manufacturers and suppliers, distributors and wholesalers who are now associated with this retail store, and they end up earning more money. So every time a retail store opens, a lot of people are benefited economically. Retail thus enables exchange of money. Like we just said in the previous slide, retailers create demands, which means they have to continuously be innovating, developing new products. Thus, a retailer develops new products. He's a product developer also. He's not only a seller. Creating value, that is another extremely important economic significance of retailing. A retailer creates value and passes it on to the customer. It could be value for money, it could be time value, it could be product value. Retailers today, in order to beat competition, undertake a lot of socially responsible activities. Okay? Things like educating the underprivileged children or giving medical treatment to their staff. These are activities that a retailer undertakes to be socially responsible, to be ethical, to be competitive, and thereby supporting the community that they are working in, thereby giving back to the society from where they are taking people as well as resources. Now let's come to the concept of wholesale. We have been talking about the manufacturer or supplier on one hand and the retailer on the other hand. In between these two could be a third party whom we usually refer to as the wholesaler. Now, what is wholesaling all about? As the term suggests, it is about selling a huge quantity. So wholesaling consists of all activities involved in selling goods and services to those who are buying for resale or for the purpose of business. Wholesalers' focus is obviously the retailer, not the customer. The retailer's focus is the end customer, but the wholesaler's focus is the retailer. So, going back to the supply chain, you could have the supplier, the wholesaler, so that's the manufacturer, the wholesaler, the retailer, and the end customer. Wholesalers, like we said, will sell in bigger quantities. Obviously, the customer does not want big quantities, maybe in a very few product categories, but in most product categories, the customer wants one, two, or a few pieces only. Thus, the wholesaler sells to the retailer, and the retailer then sells to the consumer. Let's look at different types of wholesalers, and then we will compare wholesaling and retailing. So, we usually classify wholesalers into three categories. The first is a merchant wholesaler who is independently owning a business and he takes title to the product or merchandise he is selling. What does this mean? This means, so taking title to the merchandise means he is owning the product. So, the wholesaler buys from the manufacturer, owns the product, and then sells it to a retailer. On the other hand, you could have another category of wholesalers who do not own the product. They are merely trading. That is why they are called agents or brokers. They do not take title to the product. So, a broker or an agent doesn't own the product. He is working only for a commission. Okay? Obviously, therefore, they will perform fewer functions than the merchant wholesaler. So, what is the difference between a broker and an agent? A broker brings buyers and sellers together and assists in negotiations between the buyer and the seller. An agent, on the other hand, represents either a buyer or a seller on a more permanent basis. They are both working for a commission and are not owning the product at any stage. The third category of wholesalers is the manufacturer's sales office or the manufacturer's sales branch. These are wholesaling by sellers or the buyers themselves, which means these are offices or entities owned by the buyer or seller themselves, and they are also selling to the retailer. What is the function of a wholesaler and how is that different from the function of a retailer? So, we need to understand that the role of the wholesaler is pretty much the same as the role of the retailer, except that the wholesaler does not advertise. That's all. Have you seen an ad by a wholesaler? No. You will see ads by retailers. So, that is the main difference. Otherwise, the wholesalers perform pretty much the same functions as that of the retailer. Wholesalers usually do not have an impact on the final sales and creation of demand because they are not in direct contact with the final customer, which is where the retailer is more powerful than the wholesaler because the retailer is in direct contact with the end customer. Wholesalers are usually better at performing the functions of the supply chain than the retailers and are therefore used frequently. A retailer could easily go directly to a manufacturer and buy from them. But in some cases, in some product categories, the retailer prefers to go to a wholesaler and buy. They know that the wholesaler is also going to add his own profit, thereby increasing the price of the product. But in some cases, It makes more sense to buy from the wholesaler than to buy from the manufacturer, which adds value to the whole concept of wholesaling. Okay. Now, let's look at some data about the retail industry. What is happening in the retail sector? Globally, retail industry is huge and is increasing every day. Globally, retail industry accounts for over $15 trillion, and that is huge. It is a huge, huge area and has great potential. Walmart of the USA is the largest retailer in the world, closely followed by Tesco and Carrefour. So these three are huge retail giants of the world. Current retail trends. What are the retail trends? This is something that a lot of people are familiar with. I'm sure you have not remained unaffected by the impact of online selling or mobile selling. Okay, so mobile shopping, sitting within your office or your home and then buying on your mobile, either via internet or through a number of apps that most retailers today are making, is what is currently huge in the retail sector. The other trend is personalizing consumers' needs, which means all consumers who can afford it today want customized products. It is now leading to the concept of bespoke. Bespoke means customizing. So whether it is bespoke jewelry or it is bespoke apparel or it is customizing the cars or monogramming the car seats of your luxury car, every customer wants their product to be customized. The next trend is omni-channel retailing, which we also term as multi-channel retailing. This means that one retailer is working on more than one channel. So that retailer is selling maybe through a store, they may also be present online, they may also be selling through the mobile, through a number of apps. The last trend that we will talk about is extensive use of integrated technology. The whole concept of omni-channel retail or multi-channel selling works only because of the latest technological advancements, which enable the retailer to sell through a number of channels and keep a track of the sales as well as the customer's demands. There are various softwares, various technologies available today that help the retailer sell via many channels and help them keep a tab of what is happening where. So if I am a retailer sitting in my office today, right now I will get real-time data as to what is selling in my store A in city X or what is selling in my store B in Mumbai and what is selling in my store C in Chennai. This real-time data helps me as a retailer decide on how much inventory to stock. It also tells me that now we have reached the minimum order quantity in the inventory and I need to order more. How do I order more? It is all about technology. I don't have to call up people. So I have an ERP, which is a software that helps me manage all these aspects. It helps me manage the inventory. It helps me know when to order more and how much more to order. And at the same time, it helps me tell the manufacturer that now you can go ahead and order the next 1,000 pieces of this product because I have already sold whatever I had with me in stock. So all this is possible because of the latest technology. Now let's look at the overview of the Indian retail scenario. In India, retail has grown in a huge way, actually in an exponential manner in the past two decades. Unfortunately, the Indian retail sector is highly fragmented and unorganized. This means that there are no systems, There are no organized players. There are no big players. So when we say it is highly fragmented, what we are saying is that there are only a few big players in the Indian retail scenario. Mainly, it is small players, individuals who are retailing in an unorganized manner. Amazing! Only 8% of the Indian retail sector is organized. The rest, 92%, is unorganized. Can you imagine the number of malls that you see around you are part of only that 8% organized retail? So can you imagine how huge is that 92% unorganized retail? Big, isn't it? In 2013, the Indian retail sector was estimated to be at $520 billion. Big. Organized retail penetration is expected to grow anywhere between 19 to 20% per annum to reach 10% by 2018. What is this 10%? The organized retail sector, which is today around 8%, will grow to be only about 10% in the next 3 to 4 years. This data by itself tells us how big the retail sector is and the possibility of growth of this sector. By 2018, it is expected that the Indian retail sector is going to reach a size of $950 billion. Today, the main growth in retail is happening in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. For example, Jaipur, Nagpur, Guwahati, Ludhiana. These are areas which are emerging as the new hotspots for retail consumption. Also, India's online retail industry has grown by leaps and bounds. It is booming. Most people today want to buy over online. Even people in my age group are now taking to online buying because it is so much more convenient and hassle-free. And the initial apprehensions that people had about paying online via credit cards has also decreased in a big way. So online retail is huge, growing, and here to stay. Some characteristics of the Indian retail market. We just discussed that it is a highly fragmented sector and has many small players and very few big players or big companies or conglomerates. Some big companies are Reliance, you could say Tata. Okay. These are some of the big companies, but most of the players are very small. And therefore, they do not make big impact. They do not follow a lot of systems. They are not organized. The barriers to entry in the Indian retail market are very low, which means there are huge number of players, all not making a huge impact because they are small organizations and leading to huge competition. So, the prices are extremely important. The customer in India is primarily price sensitive, and the fact that there are many competitors in the Indian market helps the consumer. Absence of economies of scale. What do we understand by the term economies of scale? This means scale means how big, how much quantity is being produced. So, if the order quantity or the quantity of production is huge, it becomes more economical for the producer. And if that same benefit is passed on in terms of price to the customer, it becomes more economical for the customer also. So, if the order quantities are more, price automatically decreases. Unfortunately, in India, economies of scale do not exist in all product categories, which leads to higher prices. The transportation costs are huge, and there are a lot of transportation delays. You will have a truck strike, a transporter strike, all these add to delays in the delivery of the product to the customer. Good locations for this very few. Most malls are already booked. The rents in these malls are huge. The right store location is extremely important for retail. In retail, it is all about location, location, and location. So, this right location is obviously right for many stores and therefore is extremely expensive. In India, the market is very diverse. You know that we are a country of diversity. So many different cultures and subcultures, languages, dialects, and this diverse market makes retailing very difficult. The retailer has to understand this diversity in terms of geographic spread as well as the diversity of the people, and then cater to these different segments, making it an extremely complex game. The distribution networks are also very complex in India. Okay, so you have distributors, you have wholesalers, you have manufacturers, you have retailers trying to backward integrate. It is all extremely complex, adding to time lags, adding to the costs. Even though there have been huge technological advances, India is not very high on technology, unfortunately. So there is very little use of IT systems, which results in higher losses and lower transparency. Now let us understand, what are the drivers of retail change in India? What does this mean? We have been saying that the retail situation in India has undergone a sea change in the past two decades. Okay, so why and how has that huge change happened? Let us look at some factors that are driving this change in the retail scenario of our country. The GDP growth is 6 to 7%, which helps the economy. The profiles of income of the current generations is changing, and changing in a big way. So the growing young population of India has taken to buying online. How much is the young population of India? It is 50%. Do you know that in India, 50% of the population falls in the age group of 25 to 30 years, which means our population pyramid is getting inverted. Okay, so, and this young generation is all about buying online, buying a lot, and buying through various new channels. So the young generation is absolutely into multi-channel retailing. There has been an increase in the consumerism, which means people are more materialistic. They are more into buying products, whether they need them or not. They just want to buy. So even though I may have a cupboard full of apparel, I still want to buy something new. I don't need it, but I want to buy it. So materialism is on the rise, which obviously increases the retail situation. There has been rapid urbanization. More and more people from the tier 2 and tier 3 cities or from smaller villages are coming to the bigger cities and to the metro. This leads to the increase in the requirement of materialistic things. This leads to the requirement of new product categories, and therefore the retail sector is expanding. The changing role of women in our country. Now that is an area that is leading to a huge exponential growth in the retail sector. How has the role of women changed? Women are now more educated. They are working. They have a job. they are earning. So many benefits related to this role of women that is changing. Firstly, since they are working, they have their own income, which means they decide what they want to buy. So their role is changing within the family, their role is changing within the society, and they have more say in the kind of products to buy and the price range of the product that they want to buy. Also, when we say that women are working, what happens? What is the change in the kind of products that need to be bought? So a working woman needs more gadgets in the kitchen. So maybe things like a mixie or a microwave or a hand blender. These are things that they need in the kitchen to help them work faster and leave them with more time to spend with family. Right? So the role of women is changing. It has, well, there is still a lot of scope for change, but this change has made them decision makers, and thus their role has changed, leading to a change in the consumption basket. The products that are being bought by women has changed. The kind of clothes they wear has changed. The kind of accessories they wear has changed. Increased use of internet and online shopping is also expanding the retail sector. We've already discussed this in great detail. Also, use of credit cards. Like we said, a few years back, people were not willing to use credit cards online because of a lot of apprehensions, because of security issues, because people would use that credit card, hack, misuse the money, etc. Today, those problems seem to have diminished, and people are using credit cards to buy online, which means online shopping is booming. Let's look at some data. Most popular categories for online retail. Electronics, 34%. And that is huge. Even though electronics are more expensive products, they are being bought online. Apparel and accessories is 30%. So 30% of online shopping is all about buying apparel and accessories. We have a lot of new online websites, Jabong, Myntra, Flipkart, Amazon. It's a long list. They are all selling online. Then, and there is no limitation on the variety of products you can buy online. Books is 15%. Beauty and personal care products is 10%. Then, home furnishings, even home furnishings and home products are now being bought online. It is a small segment though, with only 6%, but it is on the verge of huge expansion. Let's now look at online versus offline retailers. What is online? Obviously, selling online through a web or through an app. Selling offline is not selling online, obviously. Selling offline means using a store to sell. Of late, there has been huge competition for the offline stores from online stores. I'm sure you have all seen the various sales that the online stores put nowadays. So you will have a Myntra or a Flipkart having these flash sales and day-long sales or even week-long sales where the same products are available online at a hugely discounted price, almost 50 to 60% of the price that is available in a store. An offline retailer, that is. Okay. So what is the impact of that? The store retailers are in a big soup. Why? Because the product that they are selling for 100 rupees is now available online for 50 rupees or 60 rupees. So what does the offline retailer do? He has no option but to be present online. So most store retailers nowadays are starting to be present in the online situation also. This is the main reason why we have the trend of omni-channel retailing or multi-channel retailing. Online retail is now threatening brick-and-mortar retail to the extent that most physical retailers have started to establish online presence or beef up their already existing online presence.